But we come in Jesus' name. We thank you again for this lovely morning. This last Sunday of the year. We're very grateful for your faithfulness and bringing us to the end of the year, even though it's still another 2 or 3 days. But we appreciate. As we go into the Word this morning, we humble ourselves under your mighty hand. We pray for fresh unction and anointing from heaven, so I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. We pray the same unction and anointing upon the ears and the hearts of all who will hear me, those who are physically present, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so the Word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in all of our hearts, including my own, in particular to cause our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more tempered and controlled by the power of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. We also pray as I speak that the power of the Spirit of God be released in sufficient measure to back these words and follow them wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes. Yes, power that will free men so that they will become doers of what they hear and not hearers only. We also pray for mercy to be faithful, that I will deliver this word indeed with precision, redeeming the time, saying only what you want me to say, bringing out the treasure of this word, things new and old, as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen. And always in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mention in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me individually and said,
Amen.
Amen. We continue our study in the book of Revelation. In our last lesson, we were in Revelation chapter 2, and we stopped, I believe it was in verse 7. And there we saw the Lord giving the Ephesian church what we would call their spiritual report card. And he had told them, he said, look, you've left your first love. And we saw in our last lesson that your first love is your love for God. And it's actually, Jesus called it the first commandment. So what is the first commandment? He said, the first commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy strength, with all thy might. You know, and then the second one is like it, love your neighbors yourself. And we saw that you can't do the second one if you don't do the first one. Because it is in the love of God, is in loving God, that you actually tap into the divine resources, you know, and abilities to be able to love your neighbor as you would love yourself. And this love of God is only a possible, is can only be increased and attained and increased, you know, through the ministry of the Word and the Spirit. That is why you see in the book of Deuteronomy, even that was back in the Old Testament, and is much more so true in the New Testament. He said, you will love the Lord thy God, you know, with all thy heart and with all thy might. And he said, this will not depart of your mouth. You talk about it when you get up. You get up about it, you know, during the day. You know, when you're walking, by the way, when you sit in your house, when you sleep at night. What's he saying? He's telling us that you need to constantly get from God the spiritual strength, the wisdom, the strength, the power, the emotions, to be able to love God with all your heart. That's why I said with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. So it's not something that happens automatically. If you don't go to God and fellowship with God through the Word and the Spirit, you won't have the spiritual strength to love God that way. And then, of course, you will certainly not have the strength to love your neighbor as yourself. This was what these Ephesian Christians were neglecting. They were neglecting, Jesus called it the first love. They had neglected their time of fellowship with God in the Word and prayer, you know, with the focus on developing the love of God. They had lost that. They had got caught up in physical activity of serving God. Like somebody said, you know, they were so busy with the work of the Lord, they didn't have any more time for the Lord of the work. And that happens to so many Christians. You know, we get or involved working, you know, preaching, doing all kinds of things, and then we have very little time, you know, to spend with God, you know, in prayer and in the Word, from where we now get the spiritual resources, which is really God's life, and God's love and God's wisdom, you know, to love God as we should and to love our fellow man as we should. And the Lord Jesus went a step further to say that if they continued like this and did not repent of it, the candlestick will be removed. And we saw the candlestick is a lampstand that should have the seven spirits of God. These are seven characteristics of the Holy Spirit. You know, the spirit of the of love, the spirit of the fear of God, of knowledge, of understanding, of wisdom, of counsel, of might. You know, all these spiritual forces will start going out. They will start diminishing in intensity. And if you don't do something about it, they can go out completely. And he said that this was what would happen to them if they did not repent. And he was speaking to the angel, who is the pastor, or the bishop, if you like. Probably is a better word because he's an overseer, you know, who happens to have a pastoral anointing too. Probably has a teaching, probably for prophetic. You know, when we talk about bishops, it's a generic term. It covers all the fivefold ministries. So a bishop would be an overseer. So you can oversee a local church, you can oversee a ministry, you can oversee a region, depending on, you know, what the Lord, how the Lord plugs you in into the body of Christ. And so we saw all of this. And then finally in verse 7, Jesus speaking, he said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches." We brought out the fact that for him to say churches in plural, meaning that even though this message was to one regional church, the Ephesian church, he used the word churches in plural, meaning that this is going to be applicable to all churches and all Christians for, you know, till the end of the church age from that time. You know, and that's why all these lessons, all these instructions and reports to all these seven churches, that's why they're seven in number, because seven is God's number of completion. God made the heavens and the earth in 7 days, you know, is applicable to all, every Christian down through the ages can find something in these seven churches and in their reports, as well as, I didn't say talk about that in my last lesson, I will do that today, you know, as well as the rewards. It's applicable to every Christian in every age. And what you need to do as a Christian is to be honest enough to look at the report and find out wherever you're failing in any of the areas that are highlighted here and make the adequate corrections so that you can grow spiritually and you can, as we're going to see, you know, become a greater and greater overcomer. And so he closes with the last verse in verse 7. He says, "To him," let's read that together, "to him that overcometh," I didn't hear you, "will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now, you know, traditionally, down through the years, people have looked at these scriptures and thought that, okay, this is something we're going to get after we die and we go to heaven. Then when I get to heaven, I'll now eat of the tree of life. And we're going to see some of the second reward. He said, "So when I get to heaven, then I'll not be heard of the second death. I won't go to hell. I'm put in a lake of fire and brimstone." And that is not wrong. But you know, revelation knowledge is such that the Bible talks about the manifold wisdom of God. You know, and God gives us insight. It's true that these rewards, you will probably get the fullness of them when you get to heaven. But there is an application of getting those rewards even while we're still here. For instance, this reward to eat of the tree of life is available now. What does it mean today? What does it mean in this dispensation right now? It means to be a partaker of the divine nature through the promises in the written word. You don't have to wait until you get to heaven to eat of the tree of life. You can partake of the life of God now. It's one of the misunderstandings that the church has and still has till today. If you ask the average Christian anywhere, they see eternal life as what we will get when we get to heaven. They don't understand that eternal life is what you have now. In fact, it is the passport to heaven. If you don't have eternal life, you're not going to heaven. Eternal life is what determines whether you go to heaven or hell. Amen. Whether you have eternal life in your spirit or whether you don't. And so when we talk about eternal life, where it's not just living forever with God in heaven, it includes that. That's the experience it produces. But what is everybody's spirit body? See, spirits have a body. It's not a physical body. It's a spirit body. There are three bodies, actually. There's a spirit body. There's a physical body. The physical body is what covers your spirit body. And then there's a glorified body, which gives you the ability to function both in the spiritual realm and in the physical realm simultaneously. That's another message for another day. That's one of the most exciting things about the resurrection. Praise the Lord. So Jesus, he has a glorified body now. So even though Jesus is in heaven and he's in the spirit, whenever he likes, sometimes he comes to the earth. And people see him. And you can touch him and taste him. Because it's a glorified body. But, you know, the spirit body is because God has a shape, you see. He has a body. We were made in the image and likeness of God. So the substance that is inside that spirit body, if you were to cut it, now you can't cut it, but I'll just use it. Just like if you cut my body, now don't do that. You know, blood will come out. So if you were to cut God, what will come out will be Zoe. It's life. So that is what you get when you become born again. That's what John is talking about when he says you will, you know, eat of the tree of life if you learn to overcome. You know, most Christians don't eat of the tree of life. I'll explain. First of all, let's define what the tree of life is. Don't think of it only physically as a tree that is somewhere in heaven. You go there and you pluck the fruit and you eat it. It's there. That's there. We don't take away from that. You know? But in addition to that, the tree of life symbolically represents the Lord Jesus Christ through the Word of God. Look at Proverbs chapter 3 quickly. Proverbs chapter 3 and look at verse 18. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 18. Thank you. Now, he's talking about the wisdom of God here, which is found inside the Word of God. And you know what the Bible says? It says, she, talking about the wisdom of God, is a what? Tree of life to them that lay hold upon us. So it means I can do that in this life. Amen. That's the reward. It's a reward when you have a revelation of how to partake of the tree of life, even while you're here. Peter describes this in 2 Peter. And he says, you know, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you may be what? Partakers of this same Zoe, this same divine nature. So that's what it means to eat of the tree of life in this life. And it's given to overcomers. How do I know? I, Olubi Johnson, by the grace and the mercy of God, had my personal experience of this. I've been a Christian for many years. Well, not too many. I've been a Christian for about 4 years. I got born again in 1979, filled with the Holy Spirit. This was 1983. Yeah. And I had heard about the life of God from Kenneth Hagin and from E.W. Kenyon's books. I'd heard about it, that, you know, what the life of God was and all of that. So I knew this. However, I had not started, I hadn't overcome to where this reward had become a reality in my life. I know now, by looking back, what happened. And I want to share it with you so that you can have it in your own experience. Now, for those of you who've been coming to this church and following my ministry already, most of you already have this. You know, now, some people have the knowledge of it, the head knowledge of it, but they're not walking in the reality of it. And if you're not, then you need to correct that. And this is what happened. I heard about healing, and you know, whenever I had an attack of sickness, I would take certain healing scriptures. I heard that from Kenneth Hagin too, you know, certain healing scriptures, Psalm 107 verse 20, you know, some of them in Psalm 119, just First Peter 2:24, Matthew 8, you know, that it might be fulfilled. was written, you know, that, you know, he himself took our infirmities and bore our sickness. So there were just, I had about six or seven of them like that. So I would just meditate on them. I'll say them to myself. I'll confess them, you know, and I would believe God and I'll get healed. You know, usually like that, you know, within a few minutes, 15, 20 minutes, you know, I'll feel a healing virtue into my body. There are times I literally, you know, to the glory of God, I literally felt it like that, you know, especially when it was malaria or anything like that. I would feel, you know, the life of God flowing in my body. And up here, initially everything would be hot because I have a temperature. When I start praying, it start going down. This place would be fine, but this place would still be hot. Then I'll pray, and then this one will go down, and then this one will still be hot. Sorry, this one will be normal temperature. This will be until the whole thing goes out. Wow. I've actually experienced that many times. But in 1983, it was the month of June. I remember it very clearly because I was to go and preach in Oyo. Somebody had invited me to come and preach, you know, and I was going to go from Ibadan. I had this car that my dad gave me after the first one had an accident. The Igala, this red Volkswagen Igala. And suddenly I had this, you know, my temperature started going up. I knew it was malaria. And I started getting very weak. How am I going to preach? You know? So I did what I normally do. I went to the Bible. I prayed. You know, took the life scripture, sorry, the healing scriptures. I didn't get healed. I was shocked. See, when you start growing, what worked before won't work anymore. Because God is taking you to a higher level. I didn't understand that in its fullness. And to cut a long story short, the Holy Spirit now said to me, he said, go and find every scripture you can find on life. Of course, because I was familiar with the Bible, I knew some of those scriptures. So that's how I came to life scriptures. So I went to Psalm 119. Everywhere I said, quicken me, quicken me, quicken, quicken me. That's how I got all those life scriptures, you know. So I prayed for all of those scriptures. Then I went to the New Testament, you know, the book of John, in him was life, the life was the light of man, you know, Romans 8:11, you know, you give life to your mortal bodies, and so on and so forth. So I picked the life scriptures. Because I was familiar with the scriptures, so I was able to pick. I picked from John. A lot of them were in John. A few in 1 John, you know, and then a few in the epistles. You know, and amazing. And after I finished, I was healed. I said, wow. So I'd moved to another level, you know. And from that day till now, if I don't use life scriptures, I can't, you know, things won't work properly. You know, I had to use, I got the life of God from the Holy Spirit through life scriptures. So I started receiving life. Watch this. In greater measure and greater efficiency. I was receiving life before. But not with the same, I wasn't getting in the same measure and same efficiency. Many years later, when I was teaching, I remember I was teaching somewhere in the village. We went on a missionary trip. We were near the River Benue. I still remember it. You know, went to Anyigba with Brother Salami and some of the brethren. I think some of the brethren were with me. I think Pastor Larry was there. You know, and so I was teaching the villagers, you know, about, you know, the life of God and all of that. And I remember God giving me this lovely illustration. It came by the Spirit at the time, and since then I've used it to teach. And that's what I want to use now to explain to you the difference between getting life just by reading your Bible. In fact, as you're sitting down now, you're listening to me, you're getting life. You know why? It's the word of life. Hello? Anytime you interact with God, you receive life. Because God is life. Anytime you praise, you worship God, you pray, you speak God's word, you listen to God's word, you will get life. But the difference is this. It is the measure of life you get and the efficiency. And God gave me, because I was by the River Benue, you know, I still remember it. It was in Kogi State. You know, I used that as an illustration. So I now told them, I said, look, I said, you can get water by going to this river. You go with your water pot. That's how they do in the village. They take a, you know, they take a bucket or something. In fact, they had to do it for me because I had my bath. I used the water of the river. There was no tap there. There was no bathroom. So they had to construct a, they had constructed a, using palm leaves and all of that, you know, to a place for privacy. Then, you know, they went to go and get water for me in the river. And then brought it, and so I had to use it in faith. I think we had some Dettol or something. I think we took some along, you know, but even that, it won't be, it's not like the one that comes out of there. But it's still water. It's still water. So I use that water, you know, to have my bath. Incidentally, in that place, that's the same water they used to cook. So they boil it, then they let the impurities settle down, then they take the one on top. And we had to eat the food, amen. Now, it was water. So the Lord now gave me this illustration. He said, you're getting water from that river. You go with your bucket, you go and get some water. It's not so clean. When it rains, they will bring out their buckets and whatever, you know, and, you know, all those, their mud houses and, you know, they do like a kind of drainage. So the rainwater will fall into the something. So they were getting water. But the volume of water they were getting, the efficiency and the cleanliness of the water was limited. Now I said, but if you dig a borehole and you now go to the water source, the water table itself. One of our brethren here, Brother Bisheson, he does boreholes and all of that. Recently, it was about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago, we dug some boreholes, you know, but because where I live is very, very, there's a lot of rock, you know. Some of those boreholes will work for a while and then they will not, you know, then their productivity will go down and all that. So he now called me some, about a year ago, maybe one and a half, I can't remember exactly, or 2 years. And he said, Pastor, there's a new company in town and they have a better machine and they can go down 300-400 feet. All the ones we were having before was 100, 200, you know, something like that. I don't remember the exact figures, you know. But this one could go much further down. He said, it will cost so much and so much. He said, but Pastor, if we do this, we will not have any more problem. This one that, you know, this one will work and then we have to come back and clean it out and all of that. And that's what happened. So I got the money together by the grace and mercy of God. I said, oh yeah, come and do it. So they got this a company and they came and they drilled. They had a much more powerful drilling machine. So they went further down than whatever we had before and hit the water table. From that day to this, we've never had a water problem. Because where the source is, that's what you do with life scriptures. You see, when I'm talking to you like this, it's like getting water when it rains. Because the word of God is like rain. Are you listening to me? When you just read the Bible generally, do you understand? Your fellowshipping with God is like going to that river and getting water. You get water, but the volume of water you get is very limited. So that kind of water they have in the village, you know, in that village, you know, where they were getting water from the Benue River and they were getting water from something, they were having water. They've survived on it for hundreds of years. But with it comes a lot of problems. Amen. There are waterborne diseases. Sometimes the birds of the air, they pollute the water. You're living downstream, somebody's upstream, somebody has defecated in the water and it comes downstream to you. You don't know it, it just looks like water. That's why it's not every pastor you can trust the water that's coming out of them. It depends on the purity of their heart. It's water. Hello? That's why you read your Bible, you do get water. Do you understand? You get the life of God, but many times it's also contaminated by what's inside your own heart. That's why the measure of life that without this reward that we get is smaller, and then it's not as efficient. But when God now taught us, and that's why this reward, and said, so the first thing we do when we go to church is we clean our hearts with the blood of Jesus. We don't always go in there and start taking water. Amen. And then we go down, we dig deep and go to the water table itself.
Amen.
So we go to the source of life and say, and then he told us, he said, by these exceeding great and precious promises, you might become partakers of the divine nature. So you go to life scriptures and you actually get life from God himself, from the Holy Spirit directly, rather than indirectly, which you get through the preaching of the word and reading of the Bible, which you do get, but it's the measure is limited. You know, and the proof of this to me, Lord, Holy Spirit, help me, is that when I started doing that systematically, I didn't do it only when I needed healing. I learned it through healing. But I learned that, you know, I discovered that when I did that, I was able to pray better in the Spirit. When I didn't do it, or I didn't do it properly, my praying in the Spirit was not as effective. I observed all of these things by, you know, from experience. You know, so it became a pattern. I had to go to life, get measure of life, fill my heart with life. Then I would pray in spirit. Then, you know, I'll pray with tongues. I'll pray with groanings. It will, and I could tell the difference between when I did and when I didn't do it. Another thing that happened was that scripture began to open up. And I realized it was light. Because the volume of life I was getting was higher. So I was getting more light. Then I noticed something also. Because I taught it by the grace and the mercy of God in Scripture Pasture. I taught it here in this church. And those who, by the mercy and the grace of God, followed me and obeyed me and obeyed those instructions, you find that they're able to pray in the Spirit. You find those who don't can't pray much in the Spirit. And when you go to other churches and other places, you can tell the difference. These guys will pray for 1 hour, 1.5 hours, 2 hours, and continue. The other guys pray for 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and they trickle out. It's a question of fuel. There's no magic about this. Are you listening to me? Low fuel, so they can't, you know, they can operate only so far. So all of these experiences and revelation from the Word of God showed me that, you know, yes, eating of the tree of life is possible in this life. And it's a reward. It's a reward of the overcomer. What are you overcoming? You're overcoming the sin nature. And so the Christian that is that has overcome and has got this reward will have two things, or three. Number one, he has a revelation of it. Because if you don't have a revelation of it, it's not going to work. Hello? You have to have a revelation of it. You know, understanding and revelation of it. The Bible says understanding is a wellspring of life.
Right.
It's in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25. You know? So when you have a revelation understanding of it, that's your reward. So you, from then, from the time you get it continuously, until Jesus comes, you can partake of the divine nature. So you're eating of the tree of life directly. You know, it's interesting he wrote that thing to Christians. He said, you know, he that overcometh, you know, will I grant to eat of the tree of life? Well, they already had life. They were born again. Hello? It was the church at Ephesus. The church has life.
Yes,
but he was giving them a reward that's going to get them more life. In the way in which I've described. Greater measure of life, greater efficiency. So a guy spends 5 hours reading the Bible, he gets some life. You spend 10 minutes praying from life scriptures, and you get a far greater volume of life than the guy who spends 5 hours. The guy who spends 5 hours cannot see what you see. He reads the Bible, but like the Bible says in one place, he says, you know, he sees through a glass darkly. Hello? The Bible also says in one place, he says, you know, he says, he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. So he's not saying he's totally blind. The medical term is he's myopic. He can't see far. He's there is a cataract. Spiritual now. In his iris. So it's affecting his ability to see. The only thing that can remove that thing is the life of God.
Amen.
You can't see it. He's blind and cannot see afar off. He's not literally blind that he can't see at all. It's just that, you know, you can't see far. You know, that's why people have asked me this question so many times over the years. And I've explained it to them, you know. You see, what God taught me, I didn't keep to myself. Because it's not my own.
Amen.
It's God's own. Yes, and as a steward, as a faithful steward of the mysteries of God, my responsibility was to share with the rest of the body of Christ, which, by the grace and mercy of God, I've done.
Yes, sir.
I put in all my books.
Traveled
the whole Nigeria and abroad too, you know, teaching it and, you know, and preaching this truth about life scriptures, because I know the vital importance of it and all of that. So people will ask me this question and I would laugh, you know, say, is it the same Bible we are reading? How come you can see that and like we can't see that? It's light. It's not because I'm better. No. It's light. It's light. If you put the same light inside you and you do what I do, you'll see the same thing.
Amen.
You know, people have come to me and say, how come you're able to, you know, how do you get all of this, you know, how come all that? And then they say, why come all the other people are not seeing it? Light. Light. And that's why we need to, you know, take full advantage of this great reward. Amen. And so we need to be partakers, eat of the tree of life in this manner in which I've taught, you know, and go to the Word of God and partake of the divine nature and then use it in great measure. No wonder why Jesus said, it's something we've taught over the years, he said, I am come that they might have life. But he didn't stop there. That they might have it more abundantly. Most people interpret that as, you know, prosperity and having a good life and enjoying life and all that, which is not wrong because that's a consequence of it. But that's not what he was talking about. He was talking about Zoe. But, you know, being a partaker of the divine nature. And not just have it, but have it. And that's what these life scriptures do. It's, well, I need to correct that. It's not life scriptures. Life scriptures are just a tool. The person who actually gives you life is the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit that gives life. But he uses the scripture as a vehicle through which you can have faith, through which he can give it to you. Is this clear? So the giver of life is not, you know, the scripture cannot give you life. It is God who gives you life through the scripture. Very important distinction. Hello. Now let's start the other church this morning. I will start and then we'll probably pick it up in the new year. And look at Revelation chapter 2 and look at verse 8. I'm going to read everything. I will not finish it today. I'll give a summary and then I'll just hit one or two highlights. Then we'll stop and then we'll take it up in our next lesson. Unto the angel, I didn't hear you folks. And unto the angel, I didn't hear you. Of the church in Smyrna, write. These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. We won't go through all of that again because he said the same thing to the church. He said the same thing earlier on to John and to the guys in Ephesus and all of that. I know thy works and tribulation and poverty. And then look at Jesus. This is our Lord talking, but thou art rich. He is immediately destroying the poverty mentality that has seeped into the church and has stayed with us for centuries. They were physically poor, but they were really rich. They just, one, didn't know it and didn't know how to get the riches. That's why he put it there. He said immediately, I know your poverty, I know you're physically poor, but that's not my will. There's a Louis Johnson paraphrase, but it's the spirit of what he said. He said, but you're rich. You don't even know you're rich. And I know, I didn't hear you, the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, but are not, and of the synagogue of Satan. Now, what the Lord Jesus is saying here is this. You know, this has to be, you know, understood with a lot of understanding and balance. There were a lot of Jews back then, not all of them. But there were a lot of Jews then, like Caiaphas and Annas and all the guys, and the scribes and the Pharisees, the people who put him to death, who said they were Jews. And you know what? They were Jews. But they were not the kind of Jew God wants. Romans chapter 1 or 2, it says, who then is a Jew? He said, a Jew is not that which is outward in the flesh, in circumcision. A Jew is that which is inward in the spirit. Give it to me, Romans chapter 2. We're going to cut back in here. Yes, this is what he was talking about. Paul picked this by revelation and wrote it to the book of Romans. You know, but that's what Jesus had at the back of his mind. And he said, they say they are Jews, but they're not Jews like I want them to be Jews. They're not Jews that are serving God from their heart. He said, but he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that which is of the heart in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Yes, he says he's a Jew, and he is a Jew. You know what Jesus said? The same Jesus. You know what he said? He said, I know you are the children of Abraham. And I know you're Abraham's seed. He said, but you're of your father the devil. Nobody said amen. I didn't say you are. I'm talking about the Jews. Hello? Yeah, Jesus said so. He said, I know you're Jews. I know Abraham is your father. He said, but I tell you, God is able to raise from these stones children unto Abraham. He said, you better bring forth fruit meet, worthy of repentance. He said, we're not born of fornication. Abraham is our father. Jesus said, Abraham is not your father. He said, if Abraham was your father, you would do the works of Abraham. Now, Abraham was their father physically, but spiritually they had deviated from Abraham's internal character. So they were, even though they were physically Jews and they were the children of Abraham, they had become children of the devil. That's exactly what he said in Revelation chapter 2, when he says they say they are Jews, but they are of the synagogue. And he uses the church that they go to. He said they are the synagogue of Satan. They killed Jesus. Hello? Hello? Now, again, I want to say that with a balance, because there's a lot of anti-Semitic rhetoric that's going on now in the world. And so we have to balance things. You know, you have to understand that it was not all Jews that were like this. There were some good Jews, like Nicodemus. Hello? Like Joseph or Arimathea. You know, so it wasn't all the Jews that were like that. So you cannot, you know, create any kind of anti-Semitic doctrine and say all the Jews are bad, all the Jews are of the devil. Those are things that some of the Nazis and Adolf Hitler, they twisted it, take the scripture and twist it. No, that's not what the Bible is saying, that all Jews are of the devil. You know, no, certainly not. Paul is Jewish, for heaven's sake. Amen. Paul, who wrote this, is Jewish. So he wasn't talking about all Jews. He was talking about Jews who were no longer following the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In their heart, inwardly, they were no longer, you know, honoring God and believing God. And in their internally, they had become children of the devil. So he called them the synagogue of Satan. Another message for another day. Synagogue. Let's leave that alone. Praise the Lord. What a name. Why not church? So, they are Jews, but are not, and of the synagogue of Satan. You could say the same about Christians today. Hello? If you can't say amen, say over me.
Amen.
Oh, yes. You can say the same thing about Christians today. You know what Paul said? Not all Israel is Israel. He said, but in Isaac shall thy seed be called. He said, you know, it's in Romans chapter 9. He says, because they're all children of Abraham, you know, he said, these are ones that are according to the flesh. He said, but it is the ones who are like Isaac, who are born of the Spirit, that are really the children. Give it to me. Gosh. Thank you. You're already there. Romans 9. Okay. Look at this verse. Look at verse 7, I believe it is. Now, look, watch this. This is Paul, a Jew. Now, because they are the seed of Abraham, are they all children? But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. They are physically the seed of Abraham. But God does not count the seed just by the physical. He counts it by the heart. Just as Isaac was born supernaturally by the Spirit, Ishmael was born by the flesh. Next verse. Oh, I didn't plan to get off on this. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. But the children of the promise are what? Counted for the seed. While I did. Unfortunately for many of you, I didn't write the book of Romans. So you can't fight with me. You can't fight with Paul in heaven. Verse 9. Okay, don't let me get off into that. The point has been made. They're children of, yeah, but they're not children of God. Now, let's bring it to born again. That's what I'm going to talk about in my main message later on today. I'm talking about the fruit of the Spirit. Hello, somebody. That's very exciting. Nobody shouted, but it's okay. Now, the same thing is true. People get born again. Truly born again of the Spirit of God. But like these Israelites, they now walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. And continue in it. And what happens? I'm getting ahead of myself. It's part of my message I'm going to preach. The Bible talks about those whose fruit withereth. You're going to see this later on. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself. You know, you're going to see that you can have no fruit. You can have little fruit. You can have more fruit. You can have much fruit. Now, a Christian who was born again originally and had a little fruit, and then he didn't continue, he kept walking in the flesh. It's not something that happens. It's not something that happens overnight. It takes time. It's called backsliding. That's what we call it. It's called backsliding. And his fruit withers to the point where he has no fruit. You know what the Bible says about him? He says that every branch in me that beareth not fruit. God is waiting for it to bear fruit. God is not in a hurry, and he's long suffering. And a guy doesn't bear forth fruit. He said, he taketh it away. He said, and men gather them into the fire, and they are burned. Born again. But he now becomes a child of the devil. And then he goes to hell. So he's not counted for the seed. Hey, Pastor, they told us that once we are born again, always born again, they told you a lie.
Yes, sir.
That's why the message I'm going to preach this afternoon is one of the most important messages you're going to ever hear. Particularly as we're going to 2020 and beyond. You must develop the fruit of the Spirit. For that's the title of the message. I'm talking about it now because it has come up. Developing the fruit of the Spirit. Make it project number one.
Amen.
in your life, because God is going to determine the word that accounted for seed is determined by fruit. Salvation is a gift, though. It's not based on works. You get born again, you know, as a gift. But you are supposed to, if you develop and let the fruit of the Spirit develop in your life. You cannot continue to live in the flesh, you know, and let the sin nature dominate and let it wither. That word wither is a powerful word. It means it was there, but something was destroying it. So it withered. Bible says that, you know, whose fruit withereth. Thank you. There it is. Without fruit. Look at the play of words. He had fruit, it withered, and then he became without fruit. Stifled. Thank you. That's English talking. It's true. Stifled. Make sure you don't leave before the end of the service. You need to listen to this message. It's going to save your life.
Amen.
There are a lot of Christians, sadly, whose fruit are withering. And they are living in this false utopia. That since once you are born again, once born again, always born again. Go and read John chapter 15. It's a lie, oh. Now, let me just add this, because I like to always give people hope. I like to give hope when these kind of hard messages come, people say, does that mean? And people start getting afraid. Will I go to heaven? Of course you're going to go to heaven. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, I like the way Kenneth Hagin said it many years ago. You know, he was talking about some crazymatic people. You know, one woman who left her husband. You know, she said she wanted to go and find herself. She wanted to discover. She wanted to explore. You know, all this nonsense they get into their heads. She wanted to go and find herself. And you know, you find that you're stifling me. You know, let me express myself. I want to go and find myself. Can you say? Papa Hagin, you know, and he was so angry, you know. He said, what do you want to find yourself for? You're born again and you're a child of God, you're on the road to heaven. If you're not born again, you're not a child, you're a child of the devil, you're on the road to hell. That's who you are. You don't have to go and find anything. Give the Lord a clap offering. Then you're going to find nothing. Hallelujah. You don't need to go and find yourself.
You're not lost.
Exactly. You're not lost. Either you're born again, watch this. His words are very important. You're born again, you're a child of God on the road to heaven. Everybody say, on the road. Now, you're going to get to heaven. You know what? Say, Pastor, how can you say that? So long as you stay on that road, you will go to heaven.
Amen.
Give the Lord a clap offering. So you have nothing to be afraid about. The only time you may not go is if you get off the road. And I don't think any of us is planning to get off the road. And so give yourselves a clap offering. Amen. So you have no one. You see, those things only disturb Christians who want to play with the world. So this kind of statement I made will not affect a Christian whose heart is right, who's moving on with God. But the Christian who wants to play one leg in the world and one leg in the church will be afraid. And he has good reason to be afraid. Says that they that practice these things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, let the lust of the flesh, you know, you cannot continually live in the lust of the flesh and then feel they are guaranteed because you've been born again one time, you're guaranteed to go to heaven. Well, you are. Depend on the degree to which you got off that road. And I'll tell you this, the hope I want to give you. Oh, Jesus, help me. And it is this, many times, not all the time, we're going to actually see it in this reward thing, you know, in my next lesson, I guess, you know. Many times when God sees a retrogression, he will allow the person to be killed so they can go to heaven. Scripture, he said, this boy who has been sleeping with his father's wife, walking in the lust of the flesh, he said, I have determined already. What kind of power does God give to men? It wasn't a council. It wasn't a board. One man. Understand governmental. He said, I have determined already. When you are gathered, and my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver him unto Satan, for the destruction of the flesh, so that he won't get off the road, only be translation, and the spirit may be saved. So there is hope for that. But who wants borderline case? Notice he said the spirit will be saved. He said the spirit may be saved. So Christians who deliberately, continually walk in the flesh without repenting, without wanting to do something about it, in the false security and guarantee that since I'm born again, I'm going to go to heaven, some of them are going to be in for a rude shock. They won't go to heaven. Especially a person who is deliberately rebellious and is continuing after he has been told, he has been warned, he's been taught, he's been instructed, and he said, oh, no, I'm born again, I'm child of God, I'm going to go to heaven, you know. And then you go around, you know, committing adultery, fornication, drinking, doing, misbehaving all over the whole place. I said, I'm going to go to heaven. Oh, you will be amazed. The Bible says, with the wayward I will show myself shrewd. Stop that nonsense and repent immediately. Stop walking in the flesh. And if you slip, the Bible says, just man fall 7 times and rise again. You know, but you get up, say, God, please, I'm sorry. You know, and then God sees you are making effort. You know, you're using the word, the blood, the word, and the spirit. You're praying and all of that. It doesn't matter how many times you fail. Seven times. It doesn't matter. Yes, sir. That person is still on the road. He will go to heaven. Now, if he doesn't overcome some things, it will affect his reward. It will affect his resurrection. He will affect his glory. But he will go to heaven. But the guy who says, ah, you know, I'm already going to heaven and I can live anyhow, he will wind up in hell so fast he won't be able to know what hit him. See, God hates being taken for granted. That's a balanced message. I know people are still on my side. Nobody, we were all looking at me, Pastor, you're just taking away the hope of the Christian. No, I have not. I have put the Christian on his toes. Yes, you are born again. Now let me look at a few verses and I got to close. This stuff is so good. You know, that's why I love this book of Revelation. Especially these first 3 chapters. Because it speaks to us today. So, I know thy works and thy tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. Everybody shout that. You're my friend again. Okay. And I know the blasphemy of them we say they are Jews and are not. I said that's what I got off on, but it was so important we had to explain it. They say they are Jews. They say they are Christians. The same thing today. They say they are Christians, but they are of the synagogue of Satan. We still have them today. You know what John said? He said that there are many spirits of Antichrist. Watch this. See, Antichrist is the one who comes in the name of Jesus against the purpose of Jesus. And the purpose of Jesus was to be conformed to the image of Jesus. Then he says, they went out from us, that we made manifest that they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. It means they were with us. There are people like that today. But as the glory comes, and as the church progresses into more and more light, those who are not really with us, they will leave. They are comfortable now, but the temperature is going to go up. The temperature of the church is going to shoot up. And you can't live in sin and stay with us. You cannot be playing with the Antichrist spirit and with all kinds of funny devils and doing all kinds of things, you know, also called prosperity, and you know the devil will be doing miracles to them. And all. There's a lot of that in the church now. They are comfortable now, but once the glory comes, they will leave. It made manifest that they were not of us. Oh, Jesus. You know, somehow I like the Lord. He helps me. I didn't plan to say all of this. It's not in my notes. It's a tweet from heaven. For none of those, fear none, verse 10, fear none of those things which you will suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you will have tribulation 10 days. This was specific to that particular church at that particular time, even though they all have prophetic undertones, and I'm not going to go there. But be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give you a crown of life. Some of these people became martyrs. They were actually killed. But I'm going to talk about that in a minute. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church at Smyrna. No, unto the churches. Again, you see, constantly it was to the churches. Because the message is universal. It will have application for all Christians in all churches throughout the church age. He that overcometh will not be heard of the second death. Now, I want to bring out this, and then I'm going to expand it in my next lesson. This church was a good church, generally speaking. Notice they said that their candlestick would be removed here. They were actually a little bit better than the Ephesian church. But they had two problems. Number one, they didn't know that they were rich. So poverty had overcome them, if I can use that expression. And as Christians, we have to understand that being rich is a covenant right. It's not the will of God that we should be poor. The second one is very closely attached to the first one. They were overcome by premature death. He said, I know, you know, don't give up your faith. Be faithful unto death, and when you come to heaven, I'll give you a crown of life. But of course, we all know that that's not the will of God. The Bible says that with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. God's will is for us to live long and fulfill our destiny, not to die prematurely at the hand of some government or person who just wants to kill us. And we have to. What you believe in your heart is going to determine your destiny. If you believe in your heart that you will die, you will die. Oh. You will not die in Jesus' name. Don't believe it. Premature death is not the will of God. Remove it from your mentality. I did when I was a 21-year-old boy. And it's not for want of trying. There's nothing Satan hasn't done, try and kill me. Accidents, all kinds of things. I can't go into stories now. And I, over the years, I've learned, and I still learn. Like I said about Jesus the other day, that's how I am today. I am careful, but I'm not fearful. I don't fear. But I'm not careless. Because I understand. It says, he walked no longer in jury when he knew they tried. Satan is trying to kill all of us. If you give him a chance, he will. Don't let him. I'll give you scripture, and I'm going to give you hope. And close. I'm going to expand this in my next. It's such an important message. These are the two things that were a problem with Smyrna. Poverty and premature death. And we as Christians must learn how to overcome poverty. I'm going to talk about it in detail next time. And overcome premature death. But to give you hope, I want to share two scriptures with you. You know, that will conclusively or should conclusively. That's why unbelief is a terrible thing. Psalm 91, which I just quoted, in verses 15 and 16, you know, it says, let's go there. I'll give you the three scriptures. Especially as we're going, you know, people are so superstitious. You know, I remember today's December 29. New Year, hey, Keshuma Mumilo. Yeah, you're so afraid, you know, because at this time of the year, people die. You know, and you hear all kinds of terrible stories. So everybody's afraid that they won't travel. Money travel on 31st too. I'm a board on ring. Just be bank on. Oh come on! If I need to travel, I'll travel. I will go and I will come. Nothing is going to be wrong with me. I will not live in fear. You must not live in fear, because that very fear is the open door Satan will use to kill you. Don't! You will live, you will not die.
Amen.
You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of living. Amen. If you need to travel, travel.
Amen.
If you don't need to travel, don't travel.
Amen.
Are you listening to me?
Yes,
but don't do it because it's the end of the year. Oh. As if the end of the year is any spiritually different from any other day. If it doesn't kill you in December, it can kill you in March. If you have that kind of mentality.
Are you listening to me?
Don't let the devil give you all that silly stuff. Fear not!
I didn't hear amen.
Oh, am I having soldiers here? Or am I having... I said, fear not!
That's better.
He will call upon me, and I will answer him. Watch this. I will be with him in trouble.
So tell son to your neighbor, say, if you're in this life, you will have trouble.
Don't be afraid of the trouble. Trouble is coming. It's not a negative confession. Trouble is coming. Jesus says, Sophia, unto the day is the evil. There is trouble and evil every day. But the good news is that you will overcome them every day.
Amen.
I said you will overcome them every day. And I will deliver him. Ladies, you won't be in trouble, but I will deliver you.
Amen.
And honor him. And with long life. Shout it. Will I satisfy him? And sure, that's your destiny.
Amen.
Don't believe any other thing. Now, look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. I'm deliberate. I could have said it, but I want to put it on the screen. So the Holy Spirit will imprint it on your minds. You will not die.
Amen.
Don't believe that nonsense. We know that whosoever is born of God, if you are born of God, give me a wave offering. And then give the Lord a clap offering with the second hand. Then turn to your neighbor and say, he's talking to you and he's certainly talking to me. Whosoever. No, he didn't say Olubi there. He didn't say John. He didn't say Paul. Hello? Whosoever. How many whosoevers are here? So it's for everybody. Don't let them tell you a lie. Well, I call you Oluwani. There's no such thing. Whosoever is born of God, sinneth not. So don't practice and live in sin. Doesn't mean you cannot sin. If you sin, quickly repent and live in righteousness consistently. Is this clear? Not talking about perfection here. He's talking about honesty. He that is begotten of God keeps himself. And the wicked one toucheth him not. So you are given a guarantee. He didn't say he won't attack you. He said he will not be able to penetrate. How many people know that the wicked one touched Jesus? Remember in Nazareth? Did they touch him or didn't they touch him? So he's not talking about they won't touch you, they will touch you. But he's saying they will not overcome you. So they took Jesus and they took him to the brow of the hill. Remember? They carried him from the church. Can you imagine? Church going people. No wonder why it's synagogue of Satan.
Amen.
Church going people. People he grew up with. Can you imagine? Envy is a terrible thing. They carried him like this. And they were going to throw him over the cliff. But the Gabriel and Michael and some guys showed up, man. Hallelujah. Amen. The Bible says he walked through the midst of them. Because his hour had not yet come. You will not die before your time. You will only die when you and God agree together. Where you die, when you die, and how you die. And if I were you, I'd like you to join me. Don't die. Wait for the rapture. Give the Lord a clap offering. That's what I believe. I'm being honest with you. That I believe that with my heart completely. I don't believe I'm going to die. I didn't say I cannot die. But I don't believe it. I believe this generation is going to see the return of the Lord.
Amen.
And that is an appointment I aim to keep.
Amen.
You can't say amen, say oh me.
Amen.
Then look at John 10, 18 and I'll close. How many people know that this was important for you? This particular, because so many people are afraid. Because the devil has told them all kinds of things. Say, my family, 170. They tell you that.
Your family, you know, they saw, you know, and you know, the Bible says that, but it's all lies to put doubt in your heart. John 10:18. Go to verse 17. Jesus is speaking. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I laid down my life that I might take it again. It was a deliberate thing. Verse 18 is the punchline. No man! Turn to your neighbor and say, no man. No devil. No accident. No sickness will take my life from me. Give the Lord a clap offering. But I lay down of myself. I have power. That power is the Greek word authority. I have authority to lay down, and I have authority to take it again. The same thing is true of you. No man is going to take your life from you. It says, you're in God's hand. It says, no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. My Father is greater than all. Are you listening to me? Don't make the mistake of the Smyrna church. They had got to a place where there was a point of no return. Jesus said, okay, you have that, you're in tribulation, you're going to be in prison, they'll kill you, it's okay, you come and meet me. Don't, because in those days, they would threaten them that if you don't deny your faith, then they will kill you. So he encouraged them, you know. But it was not the perfect will of God for them to even die at all. Perfect will of God for to overcome it. We should overcome premature physical death. Amen. And we should overcome poverty. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. We should overcome premature physical death and overcome poverty. So Jesus should not write a letter to you and say, I know your poverty. You should write and say, you're walking in your prosperity. Amen. For the Lord delighteth in the prosperity of his servants. You will live, you will not die.
Amen.
Are you listening to me? But you have to believe God for it, just like you have to believe for your healing, amen, just like you have to believe for prosperity. You have to believe for long life.
Amen.
And then keep the conditions. Walk in love. Basically, that's the main condition. He has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I'll be with him in trouble. God will help you.
Amen.
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 Don't believe all this nonsense that, you know, is the end of the year and at this time everybody dies. The devil is a silly devil, you know. Put all kinds of things into our heads. And as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He's waiting for one you can buy to suggest. Okay, you won't die now. But maybe by the end of the year. Larry, what kind of Mombasa? You know, that Lagos you want to go, my Lord, can die on duty. It's all kinds of silly seeds. And you know, silly Christians, we believe it. For that very reason, I'm going to go to Lagos.
Amen.
I will go and I will come back.
Amen.
And prove to you that you cannot do that. Now, I'm not stupid, I'm not careless. Bible says, when they try to kill him, don't travel at night. You know, use common sense. What you can avoid. But when you cannot avoid certain things, believe God.
Amen.
You will live, you will not die.
Amen.
Let's talk to God. Hallelujah. Let's talk to God. Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Hallelujah. The God we serve is a great God. Talk to God in your heart. Say, Lord, I thank you for this word. I will live, I will not die. I will overcome poverty. I will overcome premature death. Not only that, I will be partaker of the divine nature through the word. I will have life. Not just have it, I have it more abundantly. So I can see scripture clearly. I can pray properly. These are all rewards that are available to us in this lifetime.
have made you too small in my eyes.
Oh Lord,
please
forgive me.
And I have believed in a lie.
And I have believed in a lie
that
you.
But now,
oh Lord,
I see my wrong.
Heal my heart, and show yourself strong.
My heart. Let's sing it again. I have made you to fall in my heart. In my eyes. Going to pray, and I want you in your heart to put your heart in the right place with the Lord, a place of faith, not a place of fear. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Father, first I want to thank you for your divine protection over my life, bringing me to the end of this year. I return to you all the praise and all the glory. And Father, as I look beyond now into the new year and the new decade, I thank you that you will have mercy and you will help me. Your word says, whosoever, and that includes me, that is born of God, he said he keeps himself, and the wicked one touches him not. Father, have mercy on me. I receive fresh mercy and grace to live above sin, to overcome sin, and live in righteousness consistently by your blood, your word, and your spirit, to keep myself in the love of God, so that no evil will be able to befall me. The wicked one will not be able to touch me. I have power to keep my life. No man, no devil can take it from me. I also thank you for making it possible for me to be a partaker of the divine nature through the written word, eating even in this life of the tree of life on a daily basis. And I also thank you because you have made me rich, and therefore I will not live in poverty. You take delight in the prosperity of your children and your servants, and I delight in the same. Father, come and have mercy on me. Help me to enjoy all you have paid for by your sufferings, my protection, my long life, and my prosperity, and my healing and health. In Jesus' name, amen. Mercy, Lord. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. Let's give a Lord a clap offering. Those who are going to wait. Those who are going to live and not die, give me a big shout.